98 Not Out, sponsored by Shepherd Neame, proud supporters of cricket in Essex.
So good evening, everyone.
Evening, evening, evening.
Another week of 98 Not Out. Big thanks to Mr. Ian Lee, who yet again smashed it at drive time there. No wonder he's paid so much money to do this show.
I love you.
We love you more. Thank you very much indeed. So hello, Darren. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm not so showing any symptoms of boredom as yet this week.
Excellent. Our studio guest this evening's Paul Webb. Hello, Paul. How are you?
Good evening. I'm very well, thank you.
Of course, hello to everybody listening, hopefully in the Brentwood and Billericay area, or for us on 98 FM. If you are via the web, hello. Or if you are picking back up on a podcast, hello as well.
Or via the app, the Phoenix FM app.
Yeah, of course, and we do hope you are all well and not suffering too much and going through what everyone else is going through. We are going to try not to mention the C word much this evening, which is obviously cricket.
Look, we're going to talk about coronavirus for an hour instead.
We'll cover as much as we can and talk about what we think might and might not happen.
Don't forget also to subscribe to our YouTuber channel, which has got a few little bits and pieces up there of some of the stuff we've done so far. We will be continuing to add to that as much as possible, so give it a look and a thumbs up.
Paul will be pleased to know you're not videoing him, though.
No, not we don't have a camera in the studio tonight, but you never know.
So, Paul, how are you? You come along to help us chat through what might be going on at Brentwood over the next little while. Brentwood's one of the bigger clubs in the area. Memberships start rolling in, or should be start rolling in. Bar money should be rolling in. It's not.
Yeah.
How does the club survive?
Well, I don't know yet, is the honest answer. And there will be considerably smaller clubs than us that will really feel the pinch. You know, I've asked the treasurer just today, as it goes, that I need a projection throughout the season. I need one that assumes that everything happens, which we know won't be the case, but let's pretend. One that assumes that half of the games take place and we get at least half a season in, and then really the worst case scenario, that nothing happens, because the stark reality is that all cricket clubs will still have costs. They'll still have expenses to pay. We've still got to pay a groundsman to look after the place. All right, he might have to prepare wickets, but he's still got to cut the grass and, you know, maintain the square.
You've got to put the lights on. You've got to keep the hot water running.
Yep, exactly right. So, you know, you're right. We should have some subscriptions coming in now. We should have some bar money coming in now. And
do you hire it out for functions and stuff as well at the clubhouse?
We do, yes. But again, not at the moment.
I know.
It's a complicated situation at the club because we've got the hockey and the tennis there as well. So that's not all revenue that comes to us.
Right.
So that won't hit us as hard. But certainly the share of the bar profits will do, yeah.
I mean, at Billericay, we've had to make that call this week. Like everyone, we've had our hand forced by government and the ECB as well, and it's right, you know, you have to, there are bills to pay, and you know, whether you're a big club or a small club, those things still have to be met, and it's going to be a real worry for, I don't know how much of this season is going to get lost. People are kind of trying to be optimistic about it and say that maybe by June we'll be back in action, but
the fear is, from our point of view, you know, you've got several elements to the club. You've got the first team squad, and let's extend that. Let's say the first and second team, who are, you know, playing pretty serious cricket, and they're very serious about the cricket.
Mm.
You've then got the group of guys that just want to play for fun. Enjoy it. They enjoy getting out on the field, basically because it's an excuse to have a beer with their mates afterwards. And then you've got the people that make up the lower end of the team, the clubs usually, who you probably have to cajole, particularly at this stage of the season. You're trying to get them geared up for those early season games, April, May, maybe into June. And the fear is that you're not going to be able to do that now, and then you might lose them for the remainder of the season as well.
Hmm.
So, you know, we do field six league sides on a Saturday.
You got a better section as well.
Not officially, but we've got a team.
Billericay, there's a large vets contingent, and you know, for some of those guys, as you say, getting out and socialising and having a beer afterwards, is a big part of their lives. And absolutely, having had that taken away from them, I think we have to be careful and we have to be good citizens to make sure that these people are still, you know, being looked after.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Serious question, guys. If they gave the go-ahead, how quickly do you think you could get a game on with the league obviously having to do things, etc., etc.? You could probably play friendly cricket fairly quickly, but league cricket, you've got to be looking at, what, a couple of weeks?
You'd have to wait for what Snell said, I think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The reality is that you can't just start a season 2 or 3 weeks late, because what happens to the games that you've missed? Who gets the points? Do you just, you know, cricket isn't a sport where you just share the point, where you're an abandoned game, but there's going to be all sorts of uproar about, well, that's not fair. Now, the league would have to work on the basis that, you know, it's effectively rained off.
It's a hot topic across all the social media from the clubs, and I've been looking around and seeing what people are saying. And at this level, there's kind of a school of thought that you ditch the red ball stuff and you play white ball cricket and you fit that in, which is feasible, or more than feasible, I think. But
you've gone on to county cricket, yeah? Stop. We'll do that.
No. This is. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. But this is what the Shepherd Neame Essex League are saying, and this is what. Sorry, they're not saying that, but this is on the various chat boards that they have. This is what players are saying or suggesting.
Yeah.
Could be an option.
The most obvious one for me with Snell is that you go over to a one result system only. So the 20 point for a win. You lose the other timed games and stuff like that at the start and the end of the season, and maybe only have one round of games. Is that?
Yeah, I think that's the likelihood that they'll just play. We'll play each other once.
A 50-over a side league.
I've just seen there's an email just coming literally as we're talking.
Breaking news.
Essex over 60s, so relevant to what we're talking about, have just cancelled the first half of the season. And Billericay were supposed to, scheduled to host two games, May the 12th and May the 21st. So that's another revenue stream for the club gone. But, I mean, yeah, that's not really a surprise. May the 21st and May the 12th, they're not very far away. I don't know. I mean, I think if you get a green light and sort of ramping up to county level and first class level, it was always going to be a really busy season, this. I would guess the Royal London 50-over competition is a casualty.
Yeah, that would go. I mean, if we're moving on to county, if we're talking about counties, where'd you start? Where'd you stop? I mean, until we get a go-ahead and all clear, if you've got to look at what's gone on in the rest of the world, if you look at China, have been, 6 weeks locked down, and now they've just started letting people move again?
Yeah.
So if we haven't gone into lockdown yet.
No.
So even if we went down, say we went down at the end of March into lockdown, it's the whole of April, you're talking the middle of May before you can get going again. So
and then it's not just kind of a...
So the end of May, you've got T20 starting. You've got the period of the 100 where you've got no other cricket on, really.
West Indies, they're here early in the season, aren't they?
Yeah. And then you've got, at the back end of the year, the rest of the Red Bull cricket. Is it a case of... you know, what's going to get people back in an audience? You're only going to have 4 weeks to complete a cricket season. That's not going to happen with Red Bull cricket. So do you look at...
Okay, and there's no club revenue in... or county revenue, I should say, in Red Bull cricket, is there? You know?
Well, let me just
run
through...
Have the membership. You do have the amount of membership money that comes in that's going to have...
Are they going to be asking for refunds, though?
Well, that, or do they then move the membership over just to White Ball cricket and they play a T20 Cup... And then they do bring the 50-over back, but at the end of the season, and maybe extend it slightly, I don't know.
Well, I think financially it's going to impact next year as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to be just massive. Going to cut off.
I mean, the godsend could be an Indian summer. If we get, and thinking ahead, that we get a really nice summer and the weather holds. I mean, the problem is, once you get into September, as we see anyway, the light starts to go pretty quickly in the evenings. So even with the best will in the world, if you're playing... when was
it's
the
not so much the light, it's also the temperature that you you suddenly talk about playing night cricket, but it's a bit cold to play night cricket.
Yeah, and the ball's going to be doing all kinds of things. Probably worth just having a look at where we are in terms of what the corona
over the last week.
I mean, it's a fast moving situation, but let's start with England. So they have postponed their tour to Sri Lanka. I mean, everyone's using the word postponed. I think cancelled is really what they mean. There is talk of them moving the summer series against the West Indies out to the Caribbean. But Cricket West Indies chief Johnny Grave thinks this would be unrealistic. It's a nice idea.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's logistics again. You know, will we be even flying by then? Will we not be allowed to fly? At the moment, the West Indies, if you look at their numbers with what's going on, their numbers are really low. A couple of cases on each island at the very most.
Yeah.
So you could argue that the West Indies are probably 6 weeks behind everybody else if it happens.
Yeah,
there.
And they really wouldn't want to be accepting international travel. No. And that's a debate. I've sort of looked on a couple of Facebook pages from Barbados.
When's your next holiday there, Dan?
July.
you might be all right.
Was. And they are panicking like mad because somewhere like Barbados is completely reliant on tourism.
Course, yeah.
And every day they have three or four jumbos turn up, a few cruise ships, and everyone comes in, mingles around the island, spends the money and disappears off again. And, you know, on a daily basis, you know, Grantley Adams International Airport is a ghost town till about 1:30 in the afternoon. And then for 2 or 3 hours... it's like Waterloo Station. It's just unbelievable. And locals out there are trying to ponder the benefits, the pros and cons of accepting visitors, accepting tourists, or going on some kind of a lockdown to just try and preserve their national health. Well, it's difficult.
You have to think that they're going to have to make some... I mean, Barbados has just 2 cases so far.
Yeah, that's right.
I've just picked up the official figures.
From people that have visited the US and come back, yeah.
You know, they've got 2 cases. So it's not, you know, it doesn't sound like many people, but Barbados doesn't have a huge local population and...
No, it's not even 100,000, I think,
total. It's going to be interesting when you see, you know, some of the other numbers that are coming through now.
And they certainly wouldn't have the hospital facilities to look after.
I think that's the problem we have in general is that no one's got the hospital. And this is why we're trying to slow it down. No one's got the hospital.
Yeah, so the infrastructure's just not there.
They have to. Essex obviously came back home, didn't they? Cancelled their pre-season game against the MCC that was due and... They've come back and...
They've cut short their winter training as well. They were in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, they did say they were going to train here, but again, all recreational cricket, all cricket's been told to stop. So the guys are just sitting at home twiddling thumbs. They've all got programmes and they'll be following stuff and things like that. So.
It's funny this, isn't it? Because the ECB, you know, Cricket Scotland put out an edict on Monday. There was lots of question marks on what's going on through the week. The ECB said they were going to meet today. They'd issue a statement tomorrow or the early part of next week because it's got to go up to the senior part of the board. But then they did put out a recommendation yesterday, which I think everyone's assuming is an instruction. So they recommended that all forms of recreational cricket be suspended indefinitely. Obviously, this decision follows the UK government advice to cut unnecessary social contact. To help fight the coronavirus pandemic. So this means suspending training, pre-season friendlies and any cricket or associated cricket activity. So they're still talking about it, but I think basically everything's gone into lockdown, hasn't it?
I'm not very happy with the word recommended.
That's what I mean.
The one thing that I don't like in this is the word from the government. We've heard they recommend the people don't go. They recommend this. I've got to be honest, people not to do it.
I agree.
Just tell people not to do it. You are not to go to the pub. You know, say to pubs, I'm sorry, but you need to close. And there's some financial support coming. This is what you need to do.
Maybe they should get my missus in government because she's always saying, you are not to go to the pub. You are not.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that and social distancing. My missus always seems to wish to social distance
no problem
in
there.
Bed, you know. It's one of those ones. That's over your side. Everyone has it. It's over your side, isn't it? So we're all doing social distancing, so it's not really a problem.
And of course, in all of these, you get the pantomime villain. And in the ECB's case, it's the Hampshire chairman, Rod Bromsgrove. Who has come out and said that the contingency may be playing no crickets at all this season.
Listen, until we go further into it, we don't know where we are. I think realistically, stuff is going to have to go. Obviously, Red Bull cricket is severely under threat. We know that. We know the 50-over competition is likely to go from its place at the moment. The question being is, at what point do we come out of... We know we're going to go into some kind of lockdown. Everyone else has. It's unfortunately going to be the only way to stop the spread of this. There is no if, buts and maybes. I'm surprised we haven't taken that step yet.
Yeah.
Although our numbers are still quite low and probably it needs to work into society a bit more so it then works its way through a bit.
I mean, the window for cricket is so tight anyway. I mean, how many times do we get to September and go, I can't believe the season's over? You know, where did that... What happened?
So it's going to be a sort of tough. And even then, you know, once they give the all clear to start doing it again, every team's going to have to test every player before they can make the all clear and they can go ahead.
And getting into grounds for spectators.
Again, and this is it. I mean, you know, at what point are they going to give the all clear as well? I mean, you've got to look at it. China today have reported no new domestic cases, so they've now started allowing people to go out into the street again.
Yeah.
But until we actually see that, what happens in 2 weeks, if people start contracting it again, no one's going to know. No, it's all very well saying, oh, this, that and the other. It's just going to be so... If it's, as people say, it's changing day to day, hour to hour. We literally, every half an hour, we get a news update and something else.
That's right.
And it's difficult because everyone's living by the news and social media. Anyway, let's get some music on. And we did ask for some requests, so we'll get through a few of your requests that came on our 98 Night Out Facebook page.
Good.
You'll know this one, Darren.
That hum isn't coming out of my speakers, is it?
That's the song.
Oh.
At least I hope it is. Takes a while.
Gets oh, no. Fun. Get on with it. Oh, it's the Police.
Of course, don't stand so close to me.
Young teacher, the subject of schoolgirl fantasy. She wants him so badly, knows what she wants to be. Inside her, there's longing. This girl's an open page, bookmarking. She's so close now. This girl is half his age.
Not Out, sponsored by Shepherd Neame, proud supporters of cricket in Essex.
I've done that one specially for Ian Lee. Don't stand so close to me, eh?
Thanks very much.
You're welcome, darling. You're still here.
I don't smell that.
You haven't just got cornered by Andy Gilston in the kitchen, have you?
I have.
Oh.
I have. It wasn't in the kitchen. It was in the other studio, so there was a lot of space between us.
Oh, that's okay.
It's mainly between his ears.
As long as you were social distancing, that's all good.
Oh, I was social distancing. I'm now going to social distance from everybody in the studio.
Enjoy yourself.
I'm going home for a takeaway.
Oh, fair enough.
Lovely.
There you go.
What are you getting?
I don't know. What do you fancy?
Seats open.
Yeah. Mackie D's, actually.
Mackie D's.
You drive through there.
Actually, what's today? Yes, because the Grand Big Mac is still available.
Yeah, oh, with special sauce.
And I've got the app.
What more could you want? What more could you want, indeed? So we were saying IPL have now postponed until the 15th of April. If that goes ahead, that's got to look really, really doubtful.
David Warner has said, now, I can only imagine what he's getting paid, but he said he will go regardless of the travel ban. Australia's brought in a travel ban at the moment where you cannot... Yeah. Leave the country, and I'm pretty sure you can't come into Australia now.
No, New Zealand the same as well. Yeah. They're completely isolated. They can't get... My cousins live out there. They were due to come back. That's been told no, and their family can't
go quite
out
rightly,
there.
You know. We're...
It's what you've got to do. There's no nice way of putting it. I was calling for this last week. I had rows with people on social media saying we should be locking down straight away. And, oh, it's too extreme. You can't stop people's way of life. Everywhere. I mean, you've just got to look at the numbers of it, and it is scary.
That's it. So you've got the IPL's been delayed. I can't see how that's going to get going.
Can't see that.
The PSL has been, they put a line through it. They were trying to be inventive about ways to try and get the thing concluded, but they sort of came up with the idea of a shortened version, just with two semi-finals and a final, but... I think the pressure got too much, and they offered the internationals that were there if they wanted to get back. And I saw an interview with Tamal Mills this morning, and he was basically saying that once they saw other players from England heading back and looking like there was a travel ban or a shutdown, there was no real alternative. And then, as it turned out, when Alex Hales got home, he was diagnosed as being...
He's self-contained. He's not actually clear whether he's got the virus or not.
Right, okay.
So this is the problem is with it, and as we know, it's okay they're testing 25,000 people a day. We're still not quite sure who they're testing, but there's how many people at home that are self-isolating that aren't going to get tested.
Yeah. So elsewhere, Durham have cut short their pre-season tour to Zimbabwe. Middlesex have cut short their pre-season tour to Oman. Surrey have got six players self-isolating. Ireland has called off its tour to Zimbabwe, planned for April. Sussex cancelled their pre-season tour to South Africa. Lancashire has cancelled a trip to Dubai and South Africa. Leicester have cancelled a training trip to Spain. Interestingly as well, they've parted company with their CEO, Karen Rothery, who's only been in the post for less than a year. I need to dig into that story a bit more, but that seemed a bit surprising. Worcestershire and Somerset have cancelled their pre-season matches in the UAE. Hampshire has cancelled a planned trip to Lamanga. South Africa has suspended all cricket and football for 60 days. So imagine if that was enforced over here, a 60-day ban. That would really put the cat amongst the pigeons. And Scotland's planned ODIs, they're part of the ICC Division 2. They were supposed to be in Florida playing the UAE and the USA. That has now been postponed.
Now, talking of Scotland...
Yes.
Darren, with you and your wealth of contacts...
Absolutely.
We actually managed to get hold of the CEO of Cricket Scotland earlier on today. And me and Darren had a little chat with him, and here's what went on.
Joining us on the line now, I'm very pleased to say, is Gus Mackay, who's the CEO of Cricket Scotland. Gus, welcome to 98 Not Out.
Good evening, everyone.
Turbulent times across the world. I gather you're sat there watching the news as we speak. Tell us from Cricket Scotland's point of view what's happened as this coronavirus has started to take a grip on the nation.
Yeah, and I think, you know, these are obviously unprecedented times for all of us across the world, but I think, you know, it's just amazing how sport is getting affected, and what we've done up here is on Monday we announced that there was to be no cricket activity. That was from national squad training all the way through to club, and advice to clubs was no activity either. We will review that at the end of the month. And I think probably where we're trying to get to is trying to provide, as a governing body, some clarity for clubs to mitigate risk and how we can get through this over the next sort of few weeks and months, because obviously the summer's fast approaching and everyone has been looking forward to a game of cricket.
You're separate to the ECB, obviously, so you can afford to make those decisions because obviously the ECB have only yesterday made a recommendation. It's not even an edict, really, and they're still to decide on the domestic season. But you guys are not subject to their yes or no, are you? You can make those decisions.
No, but we do work very closely. Okay. And, you know, we are sort of monitoring what is happening down in England. But obviously, our focus is very much on our own clubs, of which we've got about 130-odd across Scotland. Some are well-established clubs and have got, you know, overheads and things like that and rely on membership and functions to be able to run. We have other clubs who just purely sort of, I wouldn't say nomadic, but just turn up at a ground and play a game of cricket and don't have those overheads. So one of the things that we're looking to do here is actually get to talk to our clubs and understand what the potential financial impact is, and then where do we go from there. But at the moment, we're just trying to mitigate the risks and try and get to a point of when we might, you know, things do stabilise, actually start playing cricket again.
Gus, obviously you've been heavily involved in cricket, rugby league as well. Do you see the need for the government to step in here and maybe help clubs the way they're offering to help people as well?
Yeah, I think so. You know, sport is, you know, I've been involved in sports administration for sort of 20-odd years, and, you know, it's always been sort of, it's people's go-to. So in times of hardship and recession and all that, you know, people have, sport has always continued. And we find ourselves here today with that being impacted. And my fear for all sports and sports clubs is that, you know, this could put some clubs and stuff out of business if there's no support coming. So we've got to remain calm. And just work our way through and talk to people and see where we can get to. But, you know, sports are a very important part of community life as well as sort of well-being and health of people as well.
That's right. I mean, I think that's the concern that, you know, we've seen locally down here as well, is that even all the sort of grassroots club levels, you know, electricity bills have to still be paid and all the sort of just functioning, day-to-day functioning, those bills won't go away. So there's a hard case for some central government support, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And I think, you know, what does that look like and how does it work? But also, you know, you'll have organisations and clubs that have got brewery loans and things like that. So is there a softening of those loans and things like that? Because they're not being able to pay back if they've borrowed against, you know, selling beer, for example. So I think, you know, we've got a lot of work to do, and I think it's important that we understand the facts up here in Scotland and what we're dealing with before we can then go and talk to the relevant people.
Okay, Scottish cricket, it's going quite well of late, hasn't it? We've had a few good results.
Yeah, it is, and we're in a good space in terms of, you know, the national team, both men's and women's, and it's a game. You know, I've been in the role sort of coming up 6 months now, so I suppose if I was to write a book, it'd be a good read the first 6 months.
Cricket's been around in Scotland for quite a long time, though. It's not just a recent sport up there, is it?
No, it hasn't, and it's obviously not a mainstream sport, but it's certainly a sport that is growing, and, you know, there's a lot of passionate, committed people up here, and, you know, it's just unfortunate that, you know, our plans, it's a big year. We've got the Men's T20 World Cup in Australia. We were supposed to be in America for some 50-over cricket and Namibia. So, you know, things like that are all getting sort of put on hold until we got some clarity as to when we might start playing again. So, you know, it is what it is. We've just got to deal with it and remain calm.
I saw that you got those games against the USA and the UAE that were planned in Florida. That's part of the ICC Division 2 World Cup League. That's ODI, isn't it?
Yes, that's the 50-over.
Yeah.
So that goes to the end of 2021, you know, and finishing top of that log is then qualifying for a 50-over World Cup. So, you know, there's plenty to do. There's plenty going on. It's just unfortunate we've had this situation that we've just got to deal with. And, you know, once we get playing again, we'll certainly get back up on track, and we're due to host New Zealand and Australia in the summer.
Oh, fantastic.
So there's a, you know, question marks over that as well. So we just have to see where we go.
Gus, what's the plan for Cricket Scotland? How are you going to move it all forward?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's we've got a very good foundation, and, you know, as I said, there's a lot of interest in the game, and it is growing. I think, you know, where we want to get to is we want to become a full member. And that's what we we're working towards, and that will be driven by results and performing on the world stage, which we are very much capable of doing. As we all know, you know, a couple of years ago we beat England.
I missed that. I don't seem to remember that at all.
just a couple of years ago, but you know, we've got the World Cup coming up. You know, and hopefully we can perform well on that stage, and you know, and then people start. You know, people are taking us seriously, but take us a little bit more seriously, because becoming a full member will be a game changer for the game positively in terms of the, you know, the financial model.
You must be encouraged by your big rivals, Ireland, sort of getting to that level. So the incentive is there.
Absolutely. You know, and then, you know, once you get that, then we need to start looking at, you know, facilities. You know, we currently have a play at the Grange, so the plan is to look at our own sort of national stadium. So we're busy working on that at the moment and what that might look like. And facilities, you know, developing more facilities for the game to be played across Scotland.
And in terms of women's cricket, does that come under your remit as well? And how's the game growing up in Scotland? Because we cover that quite a lot on the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's for us, the women's game, you know, not only in Scotland but across the globe is growing. And if you think, you know, the Women's World Cup final had 85,000 people in Australia.
Incredible.
You know, and I think what we've got to do here is continue to push on that, because it's a great opportunity for women and girls to get involved and become professional in quite a short space of time. So it's big on our agenda, and it is growing, and we're developing it pretty quickly.
Now, I've been doing my research, and I found out that in 1986, you spent a year at Essex.
I did. I did.
Was that around the same time? Was Brian Hardy still playing?
Yeah, he was. It was quite an interesting story, actually, because I was asked to come over, and it was an umpire called Don Oslier who got
involved.
Yeah,
I remember. Yeah.
And I came over, and I think Peter Edwards was the secretary at Essex at the time.
Yeah.
And I came over originally for 3 months, and the great Ray East was my second team coach, and Nasser, played with Nasser and all of that. So had a great season. Unfortunately, I didn't sort of do as well as I'd like to have done, and went back to Zimbabwe, and wish I'd had a better crack at county cricket. But it was great.
You got in 3 ODIs for Zimbabwe, though, so not too bad.
Yeah, I did, and you know, they were. I could have always done better. I should have played more, but it was just the circumstance of the time, and you know, probably should have gone back. Played a lot in the Birmingham League. Mm-hmm. Should have gone back to Zimbabwe a bit earlier. But you know, cricket's been in me since I was born, and you know, I just love the game and very passionate about it.
Was Don Topley involved in Zimbabwe at that time?
I was still in England when he was. So obviously, but played with Toppers and the Ponts and you know all of them. So it was a great time at Essex.
Great characters as well from that time.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah,
just pleased they've you know done well recently as well.
Yeah, that's right. Well, listen, Gus, thank you so much for joining us. I know you've got a busy schedule, and thanks for your thoughts on what's going on up north of the border, and let's hope that we can all get back watching some action soon, and you can resume this fantastic trajectory that Cricket Scotland are on.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks very much. And yeah, just, you know, just hope we get back to playing some cricket, and particularly the fact that, you know, everyone wants to build on the success of last year, you know, particularly down in England, but also up here of you know, a World Cup trophy having been won, and, you know, this year's the year to capitalise on that.
Gus, thank you very much. Keep well and keep safe up there.
Brilliant. Thanks very much. Take care.
98 Not Out, sponsored by Shepherd Neame, proud supporters of cricket in Essex.
So it's Gus Mackay. Interesting to... You know, he's just starting in the role, and what a challenge to start with.
Well, I think there's a lot to build on there. They, you know, particularly over the last like, 3-4 years, they really are. And as he mentioned, the women's cricket up there is really doing well. So it's a bit of a shame that they've had to pause with all this going on, because I think that is really something to keep a close eye on in the future. And you've got experience of Scottish players, haven't you?
Well, indeed, yes. We actually had both Gavin and Andy Hamilton playing for us some years ago now, probably nearly 30 years
ago.
Yeah,
I'd say it's going to have to be that.
Yeah, but yeah, good lads, as I recall. Obviously, I was very young at the time. Very young.
Yeah, you'd have been a colt, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the colt. So, yeah. So, obviously, with the ECB, we've talked about it briefly. So, the ECB are obviously going to have to delay cricket at some point. What could potentially be the... I was thinking about this earlier. What could potentially be the answers and how are they going to get it?
Do you know what this all hinges on, I think, is given the amount of money they've thrown at the 100,
yeah,
does that become centre stage for the 2020 cricket, as in the year 2020 cricket season, and then everything else kind of has to slot around that? Do they put the 100 centre stage? Do they shoehorn the Vitality Blast around it? Do they forget about Red Bull cricket?
Well, the trouble with the 100 is it's not counties.
Well,
it's franchises, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the counties aren't going to benefit as much out of that as they will the Blast. So the Blast has got to go ahead. And the Blast is the sort of thing that they can fit in, can't they? You know, like,
that's what I mean, yeah.
That's what I meant to say earlier on when we were talking about club cricket is that you can't shoehorn league fixtures in midweek. You know, you can play the Blast any night of the week, anywhere you can. But, you know, they can do that, and I think they'll probably have to do that.
So, I mean, let's look at it logically. The 100 is due to start on the 17th of July.
Right.
T20 is due
to
start...
Same day we're playing the PCA.
Good stuff. Hopefully. Yeah. Well, the T20 is due to start at the end of May, and I think there's one round of county games scheduled in with the T20s off the top of my head, possibly two at the push.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what would be... Realistically... If they could get started at the end of May, you could take the whole of April fixtures out of it and just say April and May, whatever they were, just draws, and we'll continue the rest of the season from there. Not a great solution, but that's one
workable
possibility.
Yeah.
If they just start the season with the T20, do the T20, maybe condense it. It's like you can have a couple of weeks to play with, so they might be able to change some fixtures around. Mm. So in theory, you could start mid-May and do 6 weeks of T20 up until the start of July. Push the T20 back even further and do it in a month. So you could start the T20 at June. T20 has got to happen for county sides.
Yeah, definitely.
That's got to be...
The trouble is that's the one where the crowd are the biggest.
Yeah. They are the money nights.
Yeah.
They are, you know, I think Essex will openly admit, I think it's 25-30% of their income.
Yeah.
But the trouble is you're then getting all those people in one place after social distancing and then bang.
Yeah, and then the other side is are people actually going to have the money to go out and spend that kind of money socially and things like that as well. So it's that.
Do you just do a completely condensed version of the whole thing?
If it doesn't get going until, say, the 100 becomes the first bit of cricket in July, do you do the 100 and then do the T20? So you've got people who've had a chance to recover, do the T20 at the end of August. You know, the 100 finishes...
Do it all in one go. I think that makes sense.
100 finishes on the Saturday, the 15th of August.
And then
you start the T20 Cup 4 days later.
Yeah.
You run it for a month. T20 runs to the middle of September. Finals day, that's it.
Yeah.
And that could be...
But of course, what do you do
that
about...
That could be cricket season.
Well, that's... I think... My gut feeling is that's what it will be.
Yeah.
I think Red Bull cricket is going to be a big casualty. That won't be popular amongst a lot of county members.
Essex and state champions, we don't mind.
But to self-isolate, though, isn't it? Go and watch some Red Bull cricket.
Well, yeah, exactly. I think we put something on the Facebook page about that.
That's all very well. I mean, you know, a lot of counties, you could probably very easily self-isolate watching Red Bull cricket. Can't Essex?
No.
Get good crowds for Red Bull cricket.
Yeah, you do.
You know, it's one of those ones that it's going to be really, really difficult because, obviously, again... The over 70s meant to be from this weekend, isn't it? 12 weeks, not going out. It's 3 months. You're middle of June time. You've got to look at it a bit logically that I don't see cricket starting until the middle of June, maybe end of June, as you say, July at best.
19th of March, and we're knee deep in this. We're not even knee deep. We've got a way to go before.
I think we're not even above our, maybe just above our ankles in it, really. Yeah. When you look at what else is going on everywhere else.
Well, that's what I mean. My point is that, you know, it's not to get anything going by June. is fanciful, to be honest.
To be honest, the players are going to have to get fit again.
Yeah.
I know it sounds silly, but these guys, as much as they'll keep themselves fit as best they can, I mean, I don't know if you saw the video of Ben Coad bowling
down the side of his house.
Hopefully we'll see a bit more of that. I was chatting to the Essex social media guys. I said, maybe because Tottenham have started doing it as well, start up an How's That cricket competition or players at home, and can't be anything more exciting than going through Nick Brown's pant drawer, can there? That's going to be a massive draw from on social. But they need to be doing something. You know, they're going to be obviously
keep fans engaged.
The guys are keep fit guys. They'll be able to go out for a run. I'm sure gyms are going to probably get closed in the next week or two.
Yeah.
So that, you know, they will do it, but they're still going to need that couple of weeks to get the rustiness and get a bit of practice back into them. It's still going to take them a couple of
fitness
weeks
is one thing, but you know, you need to be in a net as well to get your
and even the logistics of getting things to ground, getting people ready, getting your staff back on side, having, you know, who's going to be working where. And you can't just say, oh, we're going to put a big sporting event on, because you've got to get all your security team back, who's going to be available.
Well, you know what they can do? Any cricketers out there or people involved in professional cricket, they can pick up a phone and talk to us and tell us what's going on, and you know what they think about it, how they are filling their time, how they're maintaining their...
I noticed you was chatting to Ace, Ois Shah and Ravi online last night, and they both just blanked you.
No, I got sort of abused back, didn't I?
Yeah, you know. They're busy, a pair of them, doing their hair or whatever they're doing, so, you know. Rav was looking for toilet rolls, wasn't he? Desperate situation for
organised as ever.
You know. That sounds very rapid.
And hair with those two is a really touchy subject, isn't it? I mean,
I notice as the older they've got, they both seem to get more hair.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He's very, very
impressive. It's amazing. How
as someone who suffers from that, it's very impressive how you manage to do that.
Yeah. Incredible. Incredible. But yeah, I mean, if you are out there, if anyone's... I know probably maybe your clubs have told you that you can't be doing anything, you're in lockdown or whatever else, but if anyone's there that gives this kind of permission, it won't hurt a 5-minute chat with 98 Not Out.
Yeah, we'll chat.
We're friendly.
Whoever you are, wherever you're from, we'll chat. Let's get some more music on.
Prodigy.
Breathe. Need to do it.
98 Not Out, sponsored by Shepherd Neame, proud supporters of cricket in Essex.
I'm not sure we thank Shepherd Neame yet. If we didn't. Sorry, Shepherd
Neame. Thank you, Shepherd
Neame. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Just flicking through some latest news, South African players have entered self-isolation following the aborted one-day international tour of India. 128 PSL coronavirus tests showed no positive cases.
Yeah.
So that is some good news.
Yeah.
David Warner, you mentioned. There's a lot of people that are trying to obviously get this, you know, what they've been saying and stuff that's going on already. Alex Wakeley's postponed his testimony
at North Hills
for a year. So, you know, people are making plans already. Sorry, Chairman Richard.
David Warner go.
Huh?
Let David Warner go.
Oh, yeah.
He can be like the canary in the mine. Can't he? Go on, we'll sacrifice David.
Have you watched the test yet?
On no, I tried to watch it the other day and the link wasn't working for some reason.
I've watched all eight of them.
Oh, right, okay.
And it is a really, really good and fascinating documentary.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to see it.
And when you watch through the bits of it, you actually realise the difference Smith and Warner made coming back into that dressing room. Not just in terms of the volume of runs, but what it gave the confidence of the rest of the team.
Australian teams have always been like that, though. There's always been...
Yeah, but they were getting hammered. They were really struggling. They were getting hammered. And although they were improving, had Smith and Warner not come back last summer, when you look at what's gone on previous to it, England would have won that 5-0.
Yeah.
Irrespective of the others, the confidence would have been shot really, really quickly in them.
But then even when they lost Smith and Labuschagne just...
Yeah, it was one tested. That was a really fascinating piece on it, his injury and stuff like that, because he was like dead keen on playing. But actually, he opened up and he was quite honest about how bad he was feeling after being hit on the head.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much... it wasn't necessarily the actual injury... because it wasn't that big. It's actually how sort of we brought back the memory of Phil Hughes and everything else.
Yeah, I was there at Lord's when that happened. And as he came back up the pavilion steps, I was literally 2 feet from him as he came down. And the expression on his face was, you know, he was completely gone.
But when you see him in the changing room and everything, he's actually quite with it. He's not, you know, you don't sort of see him and you think, oh, he doesn't really know what he's doing, etc. And It's a fascinating watch. It really is. You know, you see how emotional these guys get and how tough defeat is to take for them. And
well, the access that the cameras got is incredible as well, isn't it? I mean, they're right in there. It's not like it's just sort of peering in.
They literally... the only time they stopped the cameras going in was when they first went in to look at Steve Smith. But within however long it was, they had access in there to that as well. So... Mm. Whether some negotiating took place or whatever, but it was interesting to follow the cameras and follow around what they were doing and where they went and how things happened. And Justin Langer, you know, really good insight into how difficult it is to coach an international side, and you know, and how it changed him and what he was doing as well.
Yeah, no, it's and you can watch all of them now. They're all available to download, aren't they? So I'm going to try and do that this weekend if that link works. I don't know what was going on with
nothing
it.
Nothing else to do. Can't go anywhere.
That's right. I watched The Edge again in place of that. That's a brilliant film.
I've been catching up on Homeland. Not that's got anything to do with cricket. That's quite...
Okay, we're going
to
do that. I've been watching The Crown.
Yes, you got...
Oh, yeah.
My mum said that was a good one. So
That was something approached thinking, really? And then... Complete hook, line, and sinker, hook to it. Very good.
Any cricket in that?
is there cricket? Yes, there is, because Prince Philip used to play a bit of cricket. Yes, I think he's playing cricket in South Africa when he was a young man. So.
Oh, okay. So well, there you go.
Although it's typical actors trying to be cricketers, because there's some very dubious bowling actions and forward defensives, the like of which I've not seen.
You've played enough village cricket to know there's plenty of dubious bowling actions out there at the best of times. You know, we've all seen them, haven't we? People bowling off of the wrong foot, bowling round arm, completely weird.
You leave Robin Plummer alone.
Whirly motion actions as well and stuff like that. As the first time I faced a guy called John Mowbray at Thaden Boys, he bowled off the wrong foot in the nets. He literally bowled a ball to me and I didn't know what was coming at me. I was like, what's going on here? There's nothing worse, is there? In club cricket, you go out, you go and play someone and they've got someone with a weird action or got something going on. You just think to yourself, how am I going to... If he doesn't know where he's going to bowl it, how have I got a clue?
I would just like to say at this point, just a bit of a mention to all those youngsters that have been... the Colts that play across the area that have been gagging for the season to start and been doing a bit of indoor stuff through the winter, and indoor nets had started up in the last couple of months and were itching to get outside and all this stuff, and now all of a sudden it's ground to a halt, and with the schools closing down, you know, there really isn't anywhere for them to...
My lad wants to build a net and get a bowling machine for the back garden.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, in your massive mansion.
He didn't think it was going to cost a lot of money. And I'm like, who's going to dig all this out and put all the footings in and the concrete base and the astroturf down and all the netting and make sure that all fits so you don't smash things?
Martin Eakins has got a net in the garden, hasn't he?
I suspect he probably has.
I think he has.
He learned his trade there.
He was supposed to be here tonight, but he got caught up at work. But Martin, if you're listening on the train, we will have you back at
future. Haven't you got a net with your swimming pool and tennis court?
The net is in the swimming pool. Right, I just want to say about social media. Now, I mentioned earlier on that we've now got this YouTube channel, 98.8. Have a look at that, where we filmed a couple of pieces. And we will be putting more and more on as we go forward. So subscribe to that, give it a thumbs up. And also don't forget our Facebook page, again, 98.8. We've been campaigning for quite a while that to get up to 1,000 likes. When we hit the 1,000 likes, that's not liking the post or anything, it's liking the page itself. When we get to 1,000, all 1,000 of those names will go into a hat, and we will draw out
999 names.
Oh yes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Paul.
Yeah.
you announced he'd won it. I mean, we can't now let him win it, can we?
You know, I was hoping it was going to be the 1,000th, and I was going to watch it.
I think we were at 10 when I said that.
Yeah. So no, you've done him like a kipper, Darren.
When we get to 1,000, we will do a draw live on air, and the winner. Well, we've got up as a prize a signed England shirt, but I've actually got a signed Sri Lankan shirt. If whoever the winner is isn't an England fan. Yeah, and maybe we'll have a word with Debbie Knight and she can get maybe a signed Pakistan shirt.
You never know, indeed.
All our various international fans we have, or maybe if it's someone local, we can get a signed Brentwood shirt. How about that?
Oh, why not?
Paul, what can we say? We are coming to the end of the show. Thanks for joining us. We do hope everything goes well at the club. Darren, same for you with the bit of Ricky.
Yeah.
Obviously, indeed. Everyone else listening, if you want to give us a shout out, we are going to try and get as many different interviews over the next couple of weeks. So do give us a shout. We'll get involved. For everyone else out there in the world, wash your hands. Keep safe. Don't panic buy. And keep well. We'll be back next week. Play straight. Play great from everyone here at 98 Not Out.
Cheers.
Thank you very much. Or in hour.
Be 50 safe.
Shades of Shade. Keep it Phoenix FM.
98 Not Out. Sponsored by Shepherd Neame. Proud supporters of cricket in Essex.